Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. There's a new eye-catching exhibit at the Contemporary Art Museum, and you can see it from outside the building. At the corner of Spring and Washington and Grand Center, several striking sculptures created with wood, rope, and metal are visible to passers-by, and they comprise one part of the Great Rivers Biennial, which is a collaborative initiative, now in its 11th season, that recognizes and fosters local artistic talent. Ronald Young is one of three Great Rivers Biennial artists whose work is now on exhibit at the Contemporary Art Museum through February 9, 2025. He's also the creator of those sculptures you can see from Cam's Spring Avenue window, and he joins us now to talk about his art. Ronald, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Great to have you. Now, Ron, a major component to your art practice is the concept of Sankofa, and this word has origins from the western coast of Africa. Share with us what Sankofa means and how it comes across in your art practice.
Sankofa is the practice of going back and taking your history and the things that you learned in the past and bringing them forward and using them in the present. My materials are coming from the community, so they represent the past, but I'm bringing them forward and making them present, or using them in the present. So.
And has that always been something that underlies your work, or is this a more recent development?
This is a more recent development. This body of work that I'm creating now is since within the last 8 to 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the materials, as you've mentioned, most of the materials you use in your art are reclaimed. And
yes.
In your book, Lost and Found, you write about scrounging alleys and boarded up buildings, as well as vacant lots in St. Louis. And you describe it, quote, as being an archaeologist searching for buried treasure. How is it that you decide where to source those materials?
It's really a process of elimination. A lot of it is just me trusting my instinct.
Mm-hmm.
I ride through the neighborhood. I'll see certain objects. Of course, in the beginning, I was just gathering things, but now it's very specific. There are certain things that I specifically look for, bricks, any type of hardware that appears to be unusual.
Mm-hmm.
The wood itself, some wood is already burnt from the buildings that I find them in. In other cases, I burn the wood myself. I use a roofing torch, and then I cover it with linseed oil. That's what gives it the black, glossy finish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What does your studio look like? And, I mean, how do you organize these materials?
It's starting to look like I have a lot of stuff. I'm starting to look like a hoarder.
Okay.
I have a lot of materials. I managed to keep it organized, but it's a challenge. It
mm-hmm.
really is a challenge because a lot of the stuff is life size. I'm not working with small objects. I'm working with life size objects, doors, architectural features. And
mm-hmm.
so I have to find a way of making them manageable.
Yeah. I mean, I had a chance to go look at the your work that's in the exhibit. And it's one thing to see it on a website or in a pamphlet, but these are, I'm short, I'm 5'2",
mm-hmm. okay.
but these sculptures are close to my height, if
Lisa.
Not taller.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you make them so big?
Initially, in the beginning, I was trying to use as much of the material as I had as I was trying to develop a practice. So now I've been doing it long enough, I would say from 16 to 18 when I was in school is when I first developed this practice when I was at Washington University. From 18 to 20, during the COVID era, it really gave me a chance to kind of solidify in the direction that I was going in.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got past 2020, I figured out that I could make smaller pieces that fit on pedestals. So it's really been a process, yeah.
And the materials, as you are going out to get them, are there certain ones that you don't go out looking for, but like kind of speak to you, and so you end up gathering those?
Definitely.
What is an example of that?
In the beginning, there was this door that I wanted from this building that was in the city, and they were doing this demolition work. So I couldn't take it with me that day, so I had to drag it like three blocks, and I hid it in the yard.
Okay.
I came back the next day. It was pouring down, raining, and I wrestled with it, got it in the truck, because this thing weighed about 70, 80 pounds. And I took it back to my studio, and it just kind of sat there for a while before I figured out what I was going to do with it. That is the piece that ended up being my MFA piece.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're going to take a very quick break here, but when we come back, we'll continue talking about Ron Young's art, and we'll also introduce another voice to tell us how Ron's art is part of a larger exhibition that gets at themes of family and home. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with St. Louis artist Ronald Young. Ron's sculptural pieces are part of the 11th season of the Great Rivers Biennial. That collaborative initiative's exhibition is up now at the Contemporary Art Museum through next year, when the show closes on February 9th. Ron, before the break, you were talking about your MFA project, which was made with a door.
Yes.
A doorway that you found.
Right.
How is it that the neighborhoods where you're looking for materials and this idea of the door, what are you hoping to introduce people to or open the door to with the work that you're making?
Well, initially, for me, it was allowing me to break away from painting because my background was primarily that of a painter. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn how to think like a sculptor. So these materials allowed me to create a body of work that didn't require me to start from scratch. I had something there, a door. I had a piece of metal. I had a piece of architectural feature that I could build on. And so that's really what kind of led me down this pathway. The materials really determined where I went and what I could do with them.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to add another voice here to provide some insight into how Ron's work and the way that he does it fits into the cycle's biennial as a whole. Dean Diderko is the Faring Foundation Chief Curator at the Contemporary Art Museum. Dean, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you had explained to me that one of the first things you did upon arriving here in St. Louis was to tour the studios of 10 artists who had sort of gotten to that final point in consideration as being part of the Great Rivers Biennial. And this is a collaborative initiative that is meant to support artists who are early and mid-career. So Ron just talked about having been a painter. What else is it maybe about Ron's art that that says early to mid-career and something that would be worthy of a fostering?
I think one of the things that's really special about CAM's relationship with the Gateway Foundation, who are the sponsors and make this initiative between CAM possible for the Great Rivers Biennial, is that it really understands that there's a great deal of spirit. I think what you were referring to in talking about this door is that Ron's materials have a really incredible sense of the way that they operate, whether we're looking at nails or doorknobs or windowsills, et cetera. These things that we're thinking about passing through all hold a really incredible amount of energy in them. And I think Ron's sculptures really make that apparent.
Mm-hmm. Is there one in particular that really stands out to you as capturing the spirit of what the Great Rivers Biennial is meant to be about?
I think, you know, one that I was just telling Ron has really become a favorite of mine is a sculpture called Everything Falls Apart. Mm-hmm. And it's made out of elements that might have come from around doorways, different kinds of architectural decoration, and they're draped with chains. And it's a really incredible piece, both for the way that it suggests a different scale. It almost looks like a small model for something that we could imagine much bigger. And I think that that sense is really because of all the spirit that that work holds.
Mm-hmm. Now, I had mentioned I had a chance to look at Ron's sculptures this morning. There are two other artists, however, who are exhibiting their work, and that's Saj Issa and Basil Kincaid. What are the themes that, you know, drive or emerge in Saj and Basil's work? And how do they compare with what we will see or what people will see in the work that Ron has in this exhibition?
I think one of the things that's been really great is our collaboration. So as you mentioned, we do bring in guest jurors for the exhibition. The guest jurors are looking at 10 semifinalists, and from those semifinalists chose our three finalists. So Basil, Saj, and Ron all share a deep connection to this place, to St. Louis, and that comes out in different ways in each of their works, whether it's in Basil's quilts and embroidery that are incorporating clothing that's often been given to him, as well as other materials that he's sourcing in Clagone in Ghana. And with Saj, she's really thinking about her relationship to place as someone who maintains family here in St. Louis and as well in Palestine. Mm-hmm.
And was it intentional then to bring these artists together because of those common threads in their work?
I think it was a very welcome part of the exhibition. Certainly, our guest jurors were thinking about who they thought were the most exciting recipients for this award. And over the course of the year that we worked together with Basil and Ron and Saj, Associate Curator Misa Jeffries and I, who was my co-curator on the exhibition, really started to see a lot of these themes emerge.
Mm-hmm. Ron, for your part, I mean, did Saj and Basil's work speak to you in some way?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
It just seems we play off of each other. It's almost like a jazz improvisation where one musician plays something and then the other musician responds to it, and then they come back together and then they improvise and then they do a solo. It's that type of flow between mm-hmm. each gallery, each piece. I couldn't wait to see our work together.
Right,
I came dazed. They looked at me like, you're not even supposed to be here. I said, don't worry about it. I want to see this. And it has really been a process that's been very enjoyable. To see all our work together in the space is really good.
Yeah. And what was it like? I mean, did the three of you, Ron, Basil, mm-hmm. Saj, did you all sort of realize together in a moment how much affinity there was between the work that you were doing?
I think it's an ongoing process. I think every time I step into space, I feel that. Every time I step into space. So, and I think that's the same with Saj and Basil as well.
Mm-hmm. The themes of home and family, Dean, you use the word exciting. And typically, I think people don't necessarily associate excitement with themes like that. How do those themes, how are they animated in the work that is part of this 11th season of the initiative?
I think one of the things that's really great, and it reminds me of the panel discussion that took place with the artists and guest jurors the day after our opening, which is actually available on CAM's website. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these things are elucidated in that conversation. So it's thinking about spirit, thinking about connection to place, thinking about issues around community, And the fact that all of these artists are in community with each other already through the fact that they're all working here in St. Louis, I think there are really organically some natural connections that are drawn. And we certainly got to talk about a lot of those during that event.
When you are at the museum, Dean, and people are moving through the space, are there certain questions that commonly come up about these artists or like specific works that people seem to be very curious about?
I think people have been incredibly drawn to Ron's work, as they have to Basil and Sage's. I think there is a real material interest across each of the artists. So with Sage's ceramics, with the quilts and embroideries that Basil's making, and with the kind of found object sculptures. And I think that because those materials are so available to people and so familiar in those ways, that people really have been responding to that aspect of them. And I know, you know, some of the really exciting things that have been happening also are our learning and engagement department has really been having a great time. We recently did a kind of scavenger hunt for younger kids who incorporated then the objects that they were finding around the museum into sculptures that were homages to Ron's work.
Mm-hmm. Ron, by that window that I referred to in the introduction there on Spring and Washington, there's a pile of bricks and a piece of a wrought iron fence.
Right.
What were you thinking about when you decided that should be something that is a part of what people see even before they enter the building?
St. Louis is a brick city, lots of bricks. And I wanted people to know that these bricks came from the city as well as that gate. Now, the gate was from a demolished building that was dated back to 1860, if I'm not mistaken, okay? And the bricks are probably just as old. Mm-hmm. So it gave me an opportunity to show some history without really, you know, having to write a thesis or something like that. Mm-hmm. Also, I wanted people to know that those bricks came from a building just a few blocks away from the museum.
Ah.
Yeah. Matter of fact, most of this material is within a few miles of the art museum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And are there specific neighborhoods in which you're looking?
Oh, yeah.
Which ones are they and why?
The Ville, Old North, Baton. Just all over North St. Louis, all over North City. And then I go south to get certain things, certain pieces that I can't find, fixtures and stuff. I call it dumpster diving, okay? And it could happen anywhere, but the bulk of the material is coming from North St. Louis. Yeah.
What is the thing that you would like people to leave the exhibit maybe thinking about or seeing, Ron?
That there's beauty in things that are considered normal, that we don't pay attention to. And if you just look a little harder, you'll find the beauty in these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the resources, to me, it's wasted resources to let these materials go away like that.
Mm-hmm. So. And Dean, for your part, what is it that you and your colleagues at CAM, as well as Misa Jeffries, who's your co-creator, what do you want people to leave with, or what do you want them to return with?
I think that sense of the astonishing amount of creativity that exists within this community and the way in which so much of this work really feeds spirit and soul. It's been an incredible honor to work with all three of these artists and to feel inspired by them as much as we understand that we're able to offer inspiration to lots of other visitors who are coming through to see their work and sensing that on their own.
Mm-hmm. Dean Diderko is Contemporary Art Museum's Faring Foundation Chief Curator, and Ron Young is a St. Louis sculptor whose art is featured in the Contemporary Art Museum's Great Rivers Biennial exhibit. Ron and Dean, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.